Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Got a list on my desk of series that I've been compiling over the last few years, and I'm always praying about which series is next and what we're going to jump into, and I felt God settle this one in my spirit because it does go right along with our Sunday series that we're doing called Heart for the House. And I struggled a little bit with the title of this series. I've done youth ministry for 20 years, and I've been around young people for 20 years. When we name series for young people, we try to make them as provocative as we can so that it entices them to come to church. Go ahead and put up the title screen for this. This new series is called Uncovered. Ooh, I like that. I didn't do that one. That one looks really good, Mario. I like that. Uncovered, for those of you that are maybe visually challenged, that's a creative, vibey way of doing Uncovered. Some of our team made me change the name of this series. There was a divide. We had a little bit of a Democratic vote today. And it was Pastor Becky. I wanted to call this series Naked from the Neck Down. And I am, judging by your response, Pastor Becky probably made the correct call here. Naked from the neck down, but when she showed her dismay, I said, we'll change it. And Jaden's been upset all day long that we're changing it. So I said, we subtitled it Naked from the Neck Down, but it's not going to be on the wall so that y'all can't take pictures and say, our pastor has lost his mind. But we are going to use that word a little bit tonight. And we're all adults here. All the kids are next door. And so get your giggling out of the way if for some reason that makes you giggle. Because there is a spiritual truth that we're going to uncover tonight. Because there's a whole lot of us that are wearing designer clothes, but we leave the house naked every single day. And God has called us as believers to be covered in more way than one. Let's go to the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And it says like this, reading out of the New Living Translation. And it says, put on all of God's armor. That's all of God's armor, not half, not some. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand. This is one of the greatest promises, we declare it, but one of the greatest promises in all of the Word of God that we really don't count as a promise. God said this, if you put on the full armor, he said, you will be able to stand against all of the strategies of the devil. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, cover up. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, you've been uncovered too long. That's the last thing I'm going to tell you to tell your neighbor because I don't want to get in trouble from Pastor Becky. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Wednesday night, I love Wednesday night. I told our team this evening before we came out as we prayed and had a devotion today. I love Wednesday night because there's a different faith in the room on Wednesday nights. Oh, that's a good place for you to say amen because I'm talking about you. There's a different faith in the room on Wednesday nights. This is not a Sunday faith. This is not a conference faith. This is not a camp meeting faith. This is a faith that you have fought all day long. You have fought all week long so far. You've been fighting some spiritual devils. You've been fighting some physical devils. And so you sitting here, standing here, worshiping here tonight, there is something special about the group in this room because you say, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. Doesn't matter what's going on at home. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to the presence of God. And I believe when I get there, the presence of God, what he says and what he does will be worth it all. But I say that to say this. With a special faith, it comes from mature believers. Mature believers are believers that don't do the status quo, that don't do the bare minimum. Aren't you glad that you've been delivered from a Sunday morning faith? And you've got a faith that you can travel with. You've got a hope and peace that you can walk with. That you don't live, we don't live like the world, but we've got an ever-present help in Jesus anywhere we need him to be. But I will be honest with you. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God. Doesn't matter how long you've been serving God. It becomes very easy and sometimes too easy to put on the armor when you hear that there's going to be a fight. So when you hear the word cancer, you start suiting up. When you hear the word divorce, you start putting on the shoes of peace. When you start being attacked, we start putting on the armor. But can I encourage you with this, church? You do not learn how to fight, and you do not put on armor in the middle of a war. You learn how to fight in times of peace, knowing that it's not always going to be like this. Sooner or later, the enemy's going to come a calling. Or sooner or later, get this, church, sometimes the enemy doesn't find you, but God sends you to the enemy. We used to sing the song, I went to the enemy's camp. And we even had the motion, and I took back what he stole from me. Some of us, we haven't been able to fight the adversary off of us, which means we sure can't go to the enemy's camp and take back what he's stolen from us, because we pick and choose when we want to armor up and when we want to swing the sword. But I'm going to tell you, like Bishop told a church years ago when they asked him, will you be bringing an armor bearer? And these armor bearers have gotten pretty ridiculous in Western churches. They not only carry Bibles in the water, and I understand that, but I've been to some services with the preacher preaching, and they're literally reaching around his shoulder to dab his brow and to wipe the sweat off of his head. It's getting a little ridiculous. And when they asked Bishop, are you bringing an armor bearer? He said, I don't travel with an armor bearer because I never take my armor off. Once I put it on, come on now. You remember what it was like to go to bed in the clothes that you're going to wear to school tomorrow to save a few minutes? I'm here to encourage you today. Once you put on the helmet of salvation, never take it off. Once you put on the breastplate of righteousness, never take it off. Once you put on the belt of truth, never take it off. Once you get that shield of faith up, never drop your shield. Once you put the peace around your feet, never walk anyone in any way else. And once you get the sword of the Spirit in your hand and you know how to use it, why would you ever drop it? So I'm talking to mature believers, but I'm also challenging everyone in the room and online tonight, do not put on the armor for the fight that you think is coming, but wear the armor because you've got to know the devil takes no days off. The devil does not sleep. The devil is, listen, he's strategizing when you sleep. He's strategizing in times of peace, but I'm here to tell him, and I want you to do the same, that God has given us full armor. I'm going to put on that armor, and no matter what, I'm going to be ready for the enemy's attack. For those of you that watch a little bit of TV, there is, I don't know if it's still on, I don't know how popular it is now, but it was very popular, a show on the Discovery Channel called Naked and Afraid. Ooh, somebody watches it, all right. It's on the Discovery Channel. And for those of you that have never seen the show, the premise is they take two complete strangers. They drop them into a remote location like Brazil, Costa Rica, Africa, India, Australia for 21 days, and they see if they can survive. The first thing they make them do is take off all of their clothes. And then they leave them in the middle of nowhere with one survival item and a map with an X where they will be picked up in 21 days. That makes me uncomfortable just describing it. Some of you can't be on the beach longer than 5 minutes without sunscreen, without having a Dr. Pepper or a sweet tea, without having an umbrella. I'm not a beach guy. I don't like the sand. But what I found out living with Pastor Mandy, I really don't like the beach because we can't just go down to the beach. We got to pack canopies. We got to pack three or four chairs. we got to pack all of the picnic items, and we've got to do all of the. Then when you get there, you got to set it all up. By the time you set it up, you're too tired to go swimming, so you got to lay down. And then after all of that fun, you got to pack it all back up. And so there's some of us, just like in this show, that we are put in positions where other people will fail. But when God puts us in specific conditions, there is something to be said about the Ezekiels of this generation, where God says, I can pick you up and I can put you in a valley of dry bones. I can put you by yourself. I don't have to give you a partner. I don't have to give you the tools. I don't have to give you any of that, because I know that you've got something in you that when I place you wherever that may be, you are going to cause that place to flourish. I'm talking to somebody in the room tonight. I don't know where God has you. I don't know what you're facing today. But if God put you there, then there is something in you that you've got to protect, because when you get to that place, God expects you to make that place live. So they drop them in this place. They call the show Naked and Afraid, because they're literally without clothes, and they're in a place with all of the animals you can think of, snakes and scorpions and bugs. They sleep outside with no tents. They hear the big cats growling. They hear the howls of the hyenas. And so being naked is not what makes them afraid. It's being unprepared in an unknown place that makes them afraid. Do you realize that every time fear crops up in a believer's life, it comes down to one thing? They do not feel like they are prepared for the situation they are in. But I am here to tell you, unpreparedness, church, is not an excuse. If you are unprepared, it's not your preacher's fault. It's not your mama's fault. It's not your daddy's fault. It's not the Pope's fault. It's no one else's fault. Why? Because you've got a Bible, and you don't have to go through a priest or pastor to read that Bible. You've got a direct line to Jesus. You can invest yourself in the Word of God. You can learn what praise does, what worship does, what prayer does. You can learn what fasting does. On the 16th day of our 21-day fast, some of you are stronger in faith than you have ever been, meaning this: I'm preparing myself in January because I know there's probably going to be a war in April that I'm going to be ready for when the enemy shows up. So some of us, we're not covered. We're out in the world. We're uncovered. We shout on Wednesdays. We're uncovered on Thursdays. We praise on Sundays. We're uncovered on Mondays. Afraid is the feeling of fear, being filled with fear. You've heard me say this before, but write it down. Fear is faith in reverse. Faith is God will show up and do what God can do. Even though I don't see him working, I know that God is faithful. And my faith says that God will do what he's promised to do. But fear is not seeing anything and still saying, I think something bad is going to happen. I don't think I'm ready for the season that I'm in. I didn't know 2023 was going to come at me this hard. And so fear sets in. The TV show that is called Naked and Afraid. It's not afraid and naked. Because being naked does not equate fear. How do I know that? Because all of us, let's stay adults in this moment, all of us are uncovered at least sometime during the day. You wake up in the morning and you take a shower. You're not afraid. What makes you afraid is because you are no longer uncovered behind closed doors. Stay with me. What makes us afraid is not that we're uncovered in our bedroom. What makes us afraid is we're uncovered in the real world. The issue with coming to a church like Living Way, you get good worship, good praise, you get a good atmosphere of God's Spirit, and you feel covered because you are covered in this moment. But the bad news for you is at 8:30 tonight, you're going to walk out of these doors, and if you don't know how to stay covered, you are going to leave this covering, and you are going to go out in a world where the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You're going to go back home to crazy situations. You're going to show up to a job that you've got a boss that doesn't believe in Christ and that doesn't provide a faith atmosphere. But I'm here to tell you, if you will get yourself covered by the things of God, if you will get yourself covered by the Spirit of God, you can go anywhere without fear. Naked in the shower, good naked. Naked at Fiesta, Texas, bad naked. You might live right next door to Fiesta, Texas, but now you are uncovered and you are out in the open. I'm talking to believers tonight that when you leave this building, you are out in the open. The Bible says the enemy goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I don't want to be a doomsday preacher to you today, but the Spirit of God in here that gives you life and life in abundance, we shout about him in here. But can I just tell you that in the parking lot, there's an enemy that's going about as a roaring lion, and he is looking at who leaves this house uncovered. Listen, when I go home tonight, I'm not letting Shekinah glory lift off of my life. When I go home tonight, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it's on me, it's around me, it's in me, it goes in front of me. That's why the devil doesn't pick my house very often. I'm not an easy target. He knows that he's going to have to uncover me to get to me. I'm encouraging somebody today, get covered and stay covered. Put on the armor and stay armored. Two men were walking in the woods. A grizzly bear comes out. Just for those of you that don't know this, a grizzly bear can outrun a horse. Bears can reach a top speed of 35 miles an hour, which means if you turn a grizzly bear loose at the Kentucky Derby, the grizzly bear wins. A grizzly bear comes out of the woods while two gentlemen are hiking, and one hiker, he drops down and begins to tie his shoes, to which the other hiker says, "You can't outrun that bear." And his friend looks up at him and says, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I have to outrun you." I'm here to tell you, I know it's a crass way of looking at it. I don't have to be the strongest Christian. I just can't be the weakest Christian. I don't have to have my life all together. I just have to leave here covered with the Spirit of God. Bishop says it like this: it all comes down to which way is your arrow pointing. I'd rather you be saved one day with your arrow pointing towards your destiny and purpose that God created you for, than to be saved for 10 years, but you've been backslidden the last 2 years and your arrow's pointing down. I'm here to tell young believers today, get your armor on. Put on the full armor. I'm here to tell new believers today, put on the full armor of God. You can get covered on a Sunday and a Wednesday, but let me tell you something, there's nothing like living covered by the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of God. The only time fear shows up is when we're uncovered in the wrong place. For the next 3 or 4 Wednesdays, we're going to jump into Ephesians chapter 6. What amazes me about Ephesians chapter 6 is before we talk about putting on the whole armor of God in verse 15, before we talk about the spiritual battles, before we talk about defeating Satan, we talk about two words: obedience and honor. Paul does not change mid-course talking about obedience and honor to start talking about defeating the adversary. They are not two disconnected portions of Scripture. He flows seamlessly talking about obedience and living a life obeying God's word and honoring God and the leadership that God has placed over you into defeating the enemy, which leads me to this point. If you are going to defeat devils, if you are going to win the spiritual battle that you and I are in every day, it does not start with you swinging a sword. It starts with you walking in obedience to what God has said and honoring his presence and the leaders that he has put in your life. We talk about obedience and honor in the very first relationships that we have in life, because Ephesians 6 talks about obeying your parents. honoring your mother and father. I'll get there in just a second. Obey, in Webster's dictionary, is defined by saying to comply with, to follow the commands. Can I just encourage you? And I know it's not tingling to hear this, but there is sometimes Jesus is going to require you to do something that you don't want to do. That's why they're called the Ten Commandments and not the Ten Suggestions. That's why God commands us to do things and not, hey, if you feel like it and if you get around to it and if you have a good day. He says, no, you're going to do this whether it's raining, snowing, or sunshining. You're going to act this way whether you're in the valley or whether you're on the mountaintop. You're going to act this way on the day you get married, on the day the ink dries on your divorce decree. This is how you are going to be. Obedience also, Webster defines as submission, to submit. But let us go to the Greek to understand what obey and submit means. Obey in the Greek comes from a word that is hupakoua, and it means this: to listen under. See, some of us say that we're covered, but we also walk with the attitude that nobody can tell us anything. Oh, I've got the helmet of salvation. I've got my sword. Yeah, but remember, Peter was lopping people's ears off in the Garden of Gethsemane. So when you have a sword, but you have the wrong attitude. I know people that love to quote scriptures that are the most damning and condemning scriptures of the Bible. And those are the only ones they bother to memorize and spout on social media. I am here to tell you, when you submit, it's not just the covering you're under, but it's also what you're hearing, what you're listening to. And we can tell what you're listening to by what you're saying, what you're doing, and where you're going. When we say, I'm a Christian, check this out, church. I'm submitting under the teachings of Jesus. Now, I don't get to act like I want to act. I act like Jesus would act. I don't get to say what I want to say. Someone told me one time, it was a teacher in high school, said, Brandon, you like to give people a piece of your mind and you're running out. That's a bad thing, 16, 17, to be running out of your mind. Having a closed mouth sometimes. The apostle Judge Judy says you're given two ears and one mouth for a reason. You listen twice as much as you speak. Some of us need to understand that when we submit to Christ, we are now listening under. Some of us spend way too much time in prayer talking at God and talking to God instead of saying, God, I'm here for you to talk back. I need some direction in my life. The last time I did it on my own, I messed up the family. The last time I did it on my own, I picked the wrong one. The last time I did it on my own, there was a lot of heartbreak and heartache in my life. So when we talk about obey, it doesn't only mean to submit, to comply with, means to get under and listen. Some of us listen to respond, and some of us listen to transform. Church, listen to transform. Don't just listen and prepare your next statement in the debate. Sometimes in your prayer, God is going to tell you you're wrong. And you've got to be able to say, all right, if you say I'm wrong, how do I get right? How do I make it right? That is obedience, to listen under. Let's talk about submit in the Greek. It comes from the word hupotasso. It means to rank under. Here's where the revelation comes that, man, when I read this a few months ago and I jotted this down, it got me excited for this series. It means to rank under. When you hear that word rank, I automatically think of military. What's your rank? Hold on now, Jesus. You're speaking in your word through the Apostle Paul, and you're talking about obedience and submission and honor to your parents, and then you shift in a few verses, and you're talking about the war that we are with the prince of the air and the adversary. Jesus said, oh, no, 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 no. My word, it all flows together. He said to submit to your parents means understanding your rank. Understanding who's over you. Understanding and submitting to his call, to his purpose, to his plan. Check this out. If God can't trust you to obey and honor the first relationship you have, which is between you and your parents, why would God ever elevate you and promote you to a position where you are going to have to love, honor, and respect people that don't share the same blood you have, the same skin color you have, come on now, the same background that you have? And so he said, you're going to learn what it means to fight, but you're going to learn what it means to fight when you're a child at home. And by honoring your mother and father, and obeying what they say, I can now trust you, David, because you said yes to Jesse, even when he was sending you on what you thought was meaningless errands. I'm talking to somebody. Even when he hid you on the backside of nowhere, the way you responded to Jesse told me everything I needed to know about you. And I could put you under Saul, who would throw javelins at you and try to kill you. Yet you could have killed him, but you didn't. You could have raised your voice, but you didn't. You chose to live an honoring life and an obedient life. You chose to submit under the leadership and direction of Almighty God. And I'm telling you, David, what you didn't know was your obedience and your honor in a season of peace is what gave you the willingness and the ability to slay Goliaths on the battlefield. Maybe you're losing the public fight because you're not winning the private fight. Maybe you're losing at work because you're losing with your wife. Maybe you're losing out there because you're not winning in here. Maybe God can't trust you on that battlefield because you haven't won the battlefield of self. Maybe he can't trust you with what you're praying for because you haven't done very well behind closed doors when there was nobody but you and God. I am here to encourage somebody today that when you start obeying God, when you start hearing the voice of God, when you start submitting to God and you say, God, where you lead, I will follow. What you tell me to do, God, that is what I'm going to do. I know I'm talking to mature believers today, but 2022, you might have took some L's and you might have taken a step back and said, God, I don't know why I'm losing there, but can I encourage you for the next few days and couple weeks, don't worry about that fight. Start concerning yourself with what's going on between your elbows and between your ears, because I promise you, if you win this battle, you will win that war. You have to win this battle so that you can win that war. He said, I need you to be able to listen. I remember going out to eat with my dad, and I grew up, and I wanted to be a preacher. For the first 10 years, I wanted to be a preacher. For the next 6 years, I wanted to be a basketball player, and God did me dirty because he made me 5'7". If you're going to be 5'7 and make a lot of money, you better be really good. But I remember when I was a little boy, I'd sit at that table, and I sat at that table with Bishop and Rod Parson. I'd just sit there. We'd sit there for 3 or 4 hours. And I would never say a word. I would just listen. I would listen, and I didn't know at 10 years old, but I was listening to two generals of faith talking about wars they had fought, about bears they had killed, come on, church, about lions they had defeated. I sat at those tables with great men and women of God and heard all of these things. And I remember when I was, I guess it was 10 or 12 years ago, one of my favorite preachers in all of the world. He's a pastor in the Bahamas. I was at a funeral of one of our mutual friends, and it was me and him in the limo. And I was able to say, man, I've admired you for so many years. And we began to talk a little bit, but I grew silent again. And he said, man, I don't want to do all the talking. He goes, what do you want to talk? I said, with all due respect, I'm never going to probably be in this position again. I don't have much to say to you, but I know you've got so much that you can say that's going to help me. And I sat there for that 30 or 45 minute ride, and he poured into me about church building. He poured into me about the things of God, poured into me about what it means to be a pastor, about what it means to be a husband, about what it means to be a father. And I took those 30 or 45 minutes and I sat under him and I listened. What he said in those moments still rings in my ears. When Mandy and I have a disagreement, I run back to what was told to me, what I heard. Some of us do foolish things because we don't know what to do. So we just start swinging away. Some of us have injured other people in our lives because we didn't know what to do. How do you know what to do? By getting under the covering, by listening, by hearing what God is saying. Jesus said it in Matthew. It is said again in Revelation. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. You say, what does this have to do with the helmet of salvation and all of the armor? Jesus, God said to Paul in Ephesians, he said, if you cannot obey and honor and listen and submit, he said, I can never trust you out there on the battlefield. You've got to be able to win it with just you. Singles, slow your roll. If you can't handle you, you can't handle him. If you can't handle you, you can't handle her. Young parents, slow your roll. If you can't handle each other, you're not going to be able to handle a toddler, I promise you. Slow your roll. Get the covering you need and understand that it's a process. That every day you can get stronger. That every day you can become more anointed. You can get covered with the things of God. You can get covered with the armor of God. And we're going to dive into this in the next couple of weeks. And I can't wait till we get to the actual armor pieces, because there's so many of us that are leaving our houses every day. And it's not a fact that we're totally uncovered, but we've just kind of picked our pieces. I feel like wearing the righteousness today. But that truth stuff, we'll just leave that at home for another day. I need peace. I'll put on the shoes today. But that shield of faith, I'm not really going to be concerned with that. I need to encourage you today. Learn and submit and sit in the presence of God on days other than Sunday and Wednesday. Let God cover you. And when you get covered, you will begin to see every part of your life be exponentially magnified for the good. You'll automatically become a better husband, a better father, a better wife, a better mother, a better citizen, a better employee, supervisor, manager, owner, when you submit under the covering of who God is and what he's done. You'll look in the mirror this time next year and not recognize who you are. Why? Because you're used to seeing yourself uncovered or partially covered, but now you're covered in all that God has, covered in his blood, covered in his anointing, praise God, and covered in the full armor of God. Stand on your feet all over this building. This is something that I believe every believer needs to look within themselves in the next 2 minutes. In the next 2 minutes, let's stop concentrating on all of the problems outside of this building, all the things that we cannot do, cannot change. And let's look within ourselves. Ever since 2020, when COVID changed everything about our world, it literally gave me a year to work on me. And I know that God didn't do COVID. That's the enemy. The Bible says all things work together. The Bible says in Genesis 50, what you meant for evil, to kill, he said, God has turned it for my good so that I can save many. I just look back over the last 3 years, and in my mind, this is what I think. God said, Brandon, you didn't choose COVID. But I got so much that I want to do in Mandy and your marriage. I got stuff I want to do through you. Said in 2020, said, you're only going to have Tyler for another 2 years under your roof. Said, I'm going to make you a better father in this moment. And then what I've been thinking about recently, church, is God said all the next 50 years of Living Way are going to be important. They're going to be exciting. And I need you to be a better pastor. So in 2020, he said, this is a time for you to take off all that the world has placed on you. Get in my presence. And when the world opens back up, the Brandon that walked in his house in March of 2020 is going to be vastly different than the Brandon that walked out of his house at the end of 2020. All because in his presence, I uncovered myself from all of the worldly coverings. And I said, God, I don't want it to touch my back unless it's from you. I don't want to wrap my life in it unless it's from you. So the very first altar appeal of this new series is designed for you to lay aside the weight and sins that would beset you. Lay aside the things that have plagued your mind, that have slowed you down, that have distracted and dissuaded you. Lay aside the weight and the sin, because you've got a race to run. You've got a battle to fight in. And much like me in 2020, God says, there's some stuff I need to get off of you before I can put the new stuff on you. So by you walking to this altar tonight, by you watching online tonight, you're getting rid of all of that stuff. And you're going to stand clean before God, as clean as Adam and Eve as they were created in the garden. But before you leave tonight, God is going to say, let's put that helmet on. Let's make sure that your breastplate fits right, that it protects all of the vital organs, your lungs, your heart. Let's make sure that you've got truth around your waist, peaceful feet. Let's make sure that you've got the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. But I want to remind you, church, don't put it over what you won't lay down. Let all of the other stuff that's been attached to you fade away.